we can do a little bit of a kind of general wash up about what ifs and so what. So, let's start at the back. Challenges.
I'm afraid you meant to start these things at the front. Okay, so we had a naval-based game for trade resources. So essentially, we've got an educational game to introduce naval strategy to novices, because there was a lot of complexities we could dive into, but so, you know, we want this to be a lighter thing that just gets people used to the idea that if you are protecting trade routes, there are various different actors with various different agendas, and so on. So, if you, and that, what will it look like? And so, imagine, for argument's sake, a board game on which you have two islands, and an ocean in the middle, and then a number of ports on each island, and trade routes between. So, the point you made by the team was a sort of like, it doesn't have to be particularly anywhere, because all we're trying to do is tell people about the dynamics at play. There will be a number of players in either supportive or disruptive roles for the trade routes, and it's a turn-based game about getting things from this side to that side and back again. At the end of each turn, etc., you might get more or less resources depending on which trade route people have gone down, and there'll be there's various Kickstarter stretch goals that just close the game down. We will tell you about later.
And okay, so your players are moving things on a map,
yeah,
and making decisions about what?
So essentially, if you imagine you simplified resources into, I mean, you can even do it in just like two levels, food and fuel. You need food and fuel to keep the ships moving. It's about keeping the trade routes open. So you have to work out which routes you would send your resources down to over here to get something, to then get it back. And you have to make sure that at the end of each turn, you have enough resources to keep the trade routes.
So the so what is, so the players are making decisions about where to send their stuff and how to maximise their return.
And the players, and so the, so really because it's introducing novices to that strategy, it was about sort of like introducing these novices to the idea that there are various different actors involved in keeping trade routes open and the complex dynamics between the actors more than the resources and the places themselves.
Perfect, thank you. Very good. Let's do the next table down.
Okay, so people are getting tickets from, we're looking at the anti-access area denial issue. We decided to do it as a commercial game that could be used by the military, rather than trying to focus on a military problem, because I've tried to do that. So the idea is cost versus destruction. So we'll have red and blue player, and red will control the area that they don't want people to get into. You'll have blue trying to attack that. It'll all be a card-based game, and you basically, blue wants to destroy red's target, but they want to do it as cheaply and efficiently as they can. So the first part of the game will be taking cards to build up some kind of tech pack that you'll use in the game, and both sides will do that, so you'll kind of
just making use notes,
your
budget
to pay for that.
And then ending.
Yeah, note to self, stop writing on hand.
And then there'll be some sort of victory point tracker as to how much you destroy and how much budget you keep back, and the time and the losses you have throughout doing that, either to life or to hit. And you'll fight against each other until a certain number of turns in, and then red or blue will win, and then you can swap so that both sides get to play the adversary.
How many players?
Two players, two or players. Two teams.
So two players, adversarial, card play thing. So you've really got, you've really nailed what it looks like. I can, I mean, I don't know the rest of you, I can really visualise that. And also, you've got the two players staring each other down across a table
with the visors and the low light and the smoke.
There's a random deck just to add in that.
Yeah. No, there's no gambling involved though, is there?
Sorry?
There's no gambling involved.
And all the extra
decks
is expansions.
Oh, this is, thank you for coming to the Kickstarter workshop. okay, thank you, that's great. Let's do this table next.
Our game is about anti-satellite warfare. It's a series of games, starting with a strategic game, to help understand what space supremacy is and is it meaningful or achievable now or in the future. It'll be run as a kind of seminar style game with policymakers to help define the problem space. Exploratory, trying to understand questions like what thresholds of response options exist in space, why might actors engage in anti-satellite warfare, and how might one mitigate the risks that it poses. That initial exploratory strategic game, which we're using just a series of unlinked vignettes to try to understand red and blue's thresholds. We then form the starting conditions for an operational game. We situate in a particular operation of theatre, air, land, sea, and cyber, but show the interlinkages between what's happening in space and what's on the domain. The scenario itself could involve actors like sophisticated space actors like Russia or China, or some of the newer, more visionary powers like North Korea and Iran. The game itself could either be two-sided, blue versus red, or involve a third side, a sort of composite green zone made up of other space users or other satellite operators, whether commercial or state, and a sort of broader international community. The kind of broad victory conditions of work there would be on blue side to preserve the norms and access to space in order to sustain military operations and commercial activities, and for red to degrade operations to the point at which blue can no longer operate or have lost the support of its broader international coalition.
Excellent. I'm left wondering, what are the players, who are the players and what are they doing?
We didn't get to that point because we were looking at this.
No, series. Good. So here's an example where you've stated a description of a game and you've got a very clear aim and a very clear high-level overview of the structure, which is excellent. But the key part in constructing that game will be to answer those questions. Who are the players? What are they going to do? That's one of the biggest so what questions of any war game. So that's thank you for bribing me with that example. I was rather fearful someone wouldn't. But it's you can see how you've done the high level stuff, and then out of that you've actually described probably at least two, probably three games. And in each game, each element, it will be, the answer to these questions will be different. So again, it's important to identify that it's not one thing. Maybe a series of things. Okay, I won't pontificate too much. Next group.
This is a simple, short ballistic missile defense game aimed for a political level. It's a one-person game, or at least one side. Could also exist of a six, four, or one person. Playing different resources. It could be political, military, populational, economical, or you can put your efforts into alliances. The objectives of this game is to give input to the consequences of how and where to put your resources to basically impact them on the ballistic missile.
Right, so the game is going to be structured in a kind of three-phase manner. You have your country, you have your points of interest of your economic, your military, your political, and then you've got three phases. The first phase, you've got a load of assets that already exist. In your country, you place them on, and you can see which regions they cover. The second phase, where you buy in using a bit of money, so things to fill in the gaps. The third phase, where you've got separate cards, the incoming missiles, you flip them over, and then you see if your defences hold up. And then at the very end, you resolve, looking at what cities you've lost, what economic centres you've lost, you see what damage has been done. It's a one-player game, but there's room for expansion here. You can include multiple players on the blue team to have that different visual game in there. We can have an expansion replacing that cards of random missiles with instead another team that is doing an alternative plan trying to get past your defences.
And then the idea this will be iterative, that you get a chance to play it through and then play it through again to see what you could do differently.
Absolutely. You're trying to make sure the least damage done possible.
Yeah. So it's a really good game the phrase atomic solitaire springs to mind. But that's okay, so you're very clear this makes it really simple. It's not what will the players actually do, what's the player doing? So you can the thing you get out of this is, with a small number, even with a one-player game, you can imagine yourself sitting there doing that. So it's quite a good way of seeing that. And sometimes you could break down larger games into those smaller elements and say, well, actually, a larger game might be a series of single-player games. And what are they doing, and how they fit together. Let's do this one.
The title was Major Civil Disorder in Post-Brexit London. So Major Civil Disorder in Post-Brexit London. The aim is to look at causes and responses to civil disorder. And of course, post-Brexit, or Brexit may be a thing, but the causes might not be due to Brexit. So it's, we realised that it had to be a very wide brush. It had to appeal to corporate, it had to appeal to government, had to appeal to non-governmental actors, terrorists and the like. anyone who wanted to buy the game, really. The structure...
If you don't sell it, somebody will.
The structure would be a committee game or mega game. It would rely on umpiring or an umpiring team to play all those factions that weren't part of the game. We were thinking about local pressure groups, unions, fire, police, ambulance, government, mayor, home secretary, home office, as well as all the terrorist groups that anyone can possibly think of. Services, gas, water, electricity. What would they do? They'd be allocated resources, they'd be allocated aims, there'd be time stepping to say how they felt, how they were going to allocate the resources. We didn't feel that a map was necessary. We thought about sliders, we thought about reputation of London, public opinion, impact on transport, impact on food, impact on distribution of drugs or distribution of looted goods, and that could be done on sliders, so we weren't totally hung up on a map.
What will the players actually do?
What will the players actually do? During each time frame, allocate their resources to pursue their own particular ends, and of course these would be cross-cutting. It wouldn't be like responding to a flood where everyone is working one direction. It would be responding to their own particular needs, wants and views.
Excellent. So that's excellent. It also raises an interesting question. So you listed a number of player roles, or possibly even player team roles. And so part of the so what is, for each of those, you have to say, so you, what came to mind? You mentioned trade union. So right, okay, you're the trade union player. What do you actually do in a crisis or a civil disorder? And then you might be going, oh, well, actually, they don't do anything because they haven't got any levers.
Well,
or it might be that their job is harangue everybody.
Exactly.
But the key part is imagining yourself, or you can imagine people sitting down at a table or wherever with the game and looking at it and going, ah, what do I do? So that's a good one. Thank you. Now the best is last.
We've got asked for kind of war game conference. Now, okay, this is an unsolved problem, but it's going to help. At least tell you what the issues are.
Can I just, interesting where you went with this, because the description was professional conference.
Yeah.
But you immediately went to running a war game conference, which is perfect.
Yeah.
I'm taking notes for the organisers. Great.
Okay, so, in terms of actually getting the players, the actors, so we've split it down to three critical components of conference. So you've got speakers slash topics, the attendees or people who want to come, and the locations of where it's going to be. Now those basically look at the three player groups. Each of those player groups has a set of cards. They have cards for the way. Each of those cards has a time delay, how long it takes them to get there, a value, how much value they add to the conference, and how much cost they add. Now within each of the time is done on an hour sequence, and of every timed period, this can be 5 minutes, 15 minutes, the players work together collaboratively to maximise the value of their conference. Now, this is assuming they all want to have conference. There's a couple of dynamics in there which we can go into.
Yeah.
Now, so each of the players, they have a spinner. That spinner tells them how many cards each of their decks gets. So they might have three speaker cards, three location cards, and three attendance cards. They'll then discuss how much they can afford to pay for those things that are of value and whether they can do those things. Then after they decide what they do, after they decide that all the time runs out, so it might be 5 minutes, they put them on the board and they calculate the value. Then there's an interject card that comes in afterwards, which is another deck of cards, which might be there's a VIP visit. So that means you have to reduce your speakers or admin staff or your attendees by a certain value. And then that gets reassessed after every time period, notably 5 years, it doesn't matter.
So it's kind of a tactical game.
It's a bit of a tactical
game. It's a measurement of point A to point B.
Yeah, yeah.
You were called the plan party, or a coordinated conference. How do you get to the end?
I'm really looking forward to playing that next year. So very good. Okay, so we're out of time now. Thank you very much for your contributions. That's absolutely brilliant. And well done, all of you.